Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is an entrepreneur in the truest sense, and at times even to his own detriment. In 2007, my guest started a one-man web design company in Cape Town, South Africa, and within a few years, he had turned it into a worldwide brand that is now known as Woo Themes, a multi-million-dollar WordPress company with more than a million users. In 2003, my guest exited that company, and being the entrepreneur that he is, he immediately jumped into his next endeavor, Public Beta. And although he consciously went at it differently this time, he found himself burnt out and needing to make some drastic changes and took some time off business to realign and reprioritize his life. Last year, my guest jumped back into the ring full swing with his latest venture, Receiptful, a company that supercharges the receipts that your business sends to your customers. Now, let's hack Adi Pinar. I want to thank today's sponsor, FreshBooks, for making my life easier. What is the one thing that I am no good at? I am horrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. But now, rather than losing the receipts and handing my accountant this giant, messy box of papers, FreshBooks has this amazing app for my iPhone and lets me instantly just take pictures of receipts and sort them by touching a couple buttons. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners like you and me. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every single day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we are back with Hack the Entrepreneur, and we have another amazing guest today. Adi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
It's my pleasure. Let's jump straight into this, Adi. Can you tell me what, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Oh, you asked me all the difficult questions right up front. I actually think it's persistence, kind of a persistence to wake up every morning and be uncomfortable in terms of, you know, what it is that I, you know, have to do that day or, you know, want to achieve in the, you know, short and medium term, and just having that persistence and pursuing those things regardless of how, you know, how shitty it might be, you know, in itself.
So the persistence to wake up in the morning and be uncomfortable is definitely something we always deal with. And I've only just realized recently that this is kind of something I deal with and I'm okay with it. But I know lots of people aren't, especially when they're starting out. And that's what makes lots of people stop and quit. Was this something you were always good at, just being just kind of okay with that uneasy feeling of not knowing where things are going?
I think so. I mean, as context, so, you know, before I, you know, worked on and built Woo Themes, I probably had, counting quickly, about three, you know, failed projects that weren't necessarily online, but they were very public. And at the time, I was still a student, and my friends would constantly question, you know, why I would rather spend time doing that instead of, you know, studying or socializing and kind of just enjoying that part of my life. And I think, you know, right there, you know, kind of in hindsight, I think there was already that level of, you know, being, you know, kind of being uncomfortable and being out of a comfort zone, you know, the failing and being rejected, but continuing, you know, continuously pushing forward to achieve, you know, whatever I had set out to achieve. So I think, yes, definitely. I mean, whilst those weren't the biggest challenges I ever, you know, faced in my entrepreneurial journey, there was definitely, you know, from a very young age, there was that notion that just sitting still and being in a comfort zone wasn't, you know, going to be very appealing to me as a kind of a life mission.
It's just boring, isn't it?
Exactly.
So these, before Woo Themes and before sort of coming online, what was one of these things you're speaking of?
Yeah, I think the most awesome thing I did was start a kind of a campus-based girl next door modeling agency.
Wow.
It was literally kind of, you know, inspired by the likes of, you know, FHM and GQ and that kind of thing back in the day. And the idea was just to take, you know, girls next door, I would say kind of just your average kind of girls, and just try and communicate, you know, how average is beauty, or beauty is average. I mean, it doesn't, you know, take supermodel looks. But so we had a lot of fun on campus, you know, kind of persuading these girls to actually, you know, do photo shoots with us. And wasn't all kind of glamour, you know, based stuff. We did, you know, general fashion stuff as well. And I can remember, I mean, there was a bit of tech involved. Obviously, I can remember it was before I discovered WordPress and eventually WooTheme. So I'd actually built a little content management system for the site myself using flat text files and the bit of PHP knowledge I had. But yeah, I mean, this took up about 20 months of my life, and it almost caused me to fail my degree. So, but it was an awesome experience in the end. I mean, and then in the end, I actually sold it, the whole thing, to break even. At that stage, I can remember the consideration was literally, you know, push this thing forward and continue to have fun. But that would have been at the cost of actually failing my degree. So I ultimately decided that the best thing probably to do at that stage was not to fail my degree.
Yeah, there you go. And WooThemes is what, obviously, I know you for, what lots of people know you for. And that seemed amazing and interesting how you did that. But now when you tell me that you had a girl next door modeling agency before that, I'm kind of like, why did you get into WordPress?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had this whole career mapped out for me, you know, kind of life of the stars, being invited to A-list celebrity parties, and then WordPress kind of happened. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay, AD, there's a time I find in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things: that either they just have a calling to make something big, big, big in the world, or they simply cannot work for somebody else. It seems like you've kind of always had this entrepreneurial sort of bug and lean in your life, but was there a time, or is that you wanting to make something big, or can you simply just not have a job?
I would like to say that I think I can have a job under the right circumstances. And I mean, as context to that, I was actually close to accepting a job before, you know, in between, also after WooThemes and before Receiptful. And I got very, very close to joining a flourishing startup that was still small. They had, you know, still had less than 10 team members at the time, even though they were pretty established, at least in terms of growth. And that was very, very appealing, just because of it would have been a completely different challenge. So whilst not having to take on all the responsibility in terms of being the ultimate entrepreneur responsible to, you know, for the success. And the interesting thing was that the ultimate, you know, kind of, you know, there were two options in the end, was either, you know, do this, you know, accept this gig or work on Receiptful. And, you know, at least 51% of me obviously went for, you know, down the Receiptful route, and I've not looked back since. To answer the first part of the question, I definitely think that, you know, in the right circumstances, I would be able to have a job. But then it would mostly be motivated by the learning challenge involved. And I would have to feel that I can't create something myself where I could kind of learn in equal measure. I think I'm enough of a team player to make that work. I'm not too arrogant and too egotistical. But I do think the best way to answer the second part of the question is probably to say that probably about 2 years before I eventually exited WooThemes, I realized one thing, and that's that money and success, the success related or measured in money and the actual currency, doesn't motivate me enough, and that it's about the challenge. And I think that part thereof will always make me kind of lean towards working on my own things, because that's where I'm most challenged and most stimulated. And that's where I just find the most, you know, or have the biggest opportunity to make mistakes and learn from them. And I think in that sense, you know, it will be hard for me. I will, you know, kind of to not pursue that. Any alternative to that, as I said, is as a tough task of convincing me that it's the better option.
Interesting. And I like that you're open to possibly having a job someday, yet you haven't. And although you say at least 51% of you decided to go for Receiptful, I mean, I would kind of feel the same way, that I would be open to it, but it's not just money. It needs to be the challenge. And sometimes there's the feeling of not enough, either challenge there and that you have enough to learn, but maybe giving up control over where your destiny kind of lies. Does that think play a part into it?
So, I mean, control is an interesting thing. I think if there's a base level of flexibility and freedom, I don't need control itself. I'm happy just to have influence, or I wouldn't be able to do something without, you know, influence, but I don't necessarily need control. And in fact, I think part of, you know, not having control is the part that is attractive about, you know, taking a job. And it's about, if you have, you know, if I have all the control, then I'm also the one that's ultimately accountable and responsible for success and failure, which is the typical kind of risk reward situation with, you know, with being an entrepreneur. But sometimes, you know, I just imagine it could be great not having that control and thus not having that ultimate accountability, and but still having a great opportunity to be challenged and, you know, and to learn, you know, via those challenges. So, yeah, I don't know. Control doesn't rank that high, you know, in terms of my personal priorities.
Okay. I guess I was trying to get at the fact of control of, like, your destiny, and not control. I mean, I guess responsibility, and that it's all on you at this point. Like, if 1 year from today, you are way ahead or way behind where you are now, you can at least say that it was your doing. It was your fault. It was all your hard work, rather than you join a company and 2 years from now, the company fails because somebody else was in control. And now you've kind of spent 2 years and, you know what I mean? That ultimate, that it is me, it's 80 is kind of gets to, I don't know, it's hard for me to give up that, not in a sense in control, but I like to know that my wins and my losses come from my doing, not from somebody, like an external sort of doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's just a, you know, for me, it's just about seeing that slightly different and saying, if I was just, you know, a smaller cog, you know, bigger machine, then my wins and losses would measure differently. It would be measured about the things that I, you know, could control. And I wouldn't be too fussed about, you know, getting to a point 2 years down the line and, you know, the bigger machine failed, but my cog actually, you know, kind of, you know, worked well within, you know, within that machine. So it's obviously slightly different. It's a different mindset. And I'm sure that, you know, many other entrepreneurs that would hear me say that would obviously, well, would, you know, might frown at that. But I'm just saying that's, you know, whilst that's not a natural choice for me to forsake that kind of control and the responsibility, you know, around that, if I ever did that, that's essentially how I would, you know, kind of see it. And that's how I would try and make it work.
Excellent. Excellent. I love that mindset change. Actually, it's good. So every expert now and every blog post we're reading is telling us about the 80-20 rule. Do the 20% that you're good at and you'll get 80% of the results. You told us at the beginning, 80, that you are persistent and you can wake up feeling uncomfortable. Can you now tell us something that you are absolutely not good at?
Well, to start off with phone calls, I absolutely despise them. I constantly, you know, find ways to work around them and to not have them. Seriously, in terms of, if I look at what my average, you know, week looks like, I actually think the thing I struggle most with is, you know, are the tasks where I need structure. And the best example of that is actually a structure and process. And the best example is probably, you know, marketing. If I look at, you know, the things we're doing with Receiptful, I fully understand that, you know, to be very, 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 very successful, you know, and to be able to scale, there needs to be process. So we, you know, should probably set up, you know, kind of the foundations, analytics to actually do stuff, then we should do it, and then we should measure it, and you should experiment and blah, blah, blah. All of those kind of best practice things. And I absolutely despise that. I simply cannot, you know, kind of follow, you know, a 5 or 10 step process to get things done. And this actually, in saying that, it actually reminds me of, you know, the kind of my later days within MooThemes, where the company was growing and scaling like a big company, which means you're essentially, as a leader within the company, you're looking at finding those 1, 2, and 3% increases in the different kind of processes, because they always have a big absolute, you know, kind of result or impact in the business. And I don't enjoy that. I like the messiness of, you know, startup. I like, you know, not having to worry with those processes. So, I mean, in terms of using my, you know, marketing example with Receiptful, I'm kind of happy to be all over the show at the moment and just do loads of different things as long as we're moving forward. And the way I just work then is just to get to a point where it makes sense to, you know, to hire someone else to formalize all those processes and, you know, and deal with the detail because they're good at it and they're passionate about it, but I'm just not. But I think that's the thing that I, you know, I struggle with most. And as I said, I can probably find examples, you know, throughout my personal and professional life where I absolutely rebel against structure and process.
But you know that it's necessary later on in the business cycle, but and you will hire somebody for that at the time. Right now, you just like the messiness of doing this, then doing this, then doing this, and growth fast, right?
Exactly. I'm more than happy to pay someone to tell me, AD, you need to do this now, and then I'll do that. But I don't want to be responsible for, you know, for knowing in what sequence things need to happen.
Exactly. Nice. So your average, you knowing what your average week looks like and having a structure you know is very kind of important right now. So that takes us to just say work. And you are doing a lot of different things and you probably start work on Monday morning and you don't know, you have an idea of what needs to be done this week for Receiptful, but those things change because the company is probably growing quickly and it's just starting off, right? So could you walk us through, say, the first 30 minutes of today, the workday, how you kind of set yourself up to do the things that you know need to be done, as well as the things that are going to come at you and need to be dealt with?
Yeah, so I'd probably say my, you know, every morning looks, you know, approximately the same, and that's probably about the first hour, which is basically two things at this stage. The one is, clearing all support tickets. So I'm first contact for all of the support tickets, which is, you know, great in terms of, you know, not having to essentially bother the rest of the team and defocus their time to do it, but also it gives me an opportunity to, you know, be, kind of interact intimately with customers and figure out what we should be doing next. And the other part thereof is just, you know, getting my inbox cleaned. I mean, I obviously deal with a lot of kind of, you know, admin stuff and the stuff that's probably not essential in the day-to-day running of the business, but obviously needs to kind of be taken care of in a kind of peripheral way. So I love just almost, you know, those two things, you know, clearing the canvas. And I know many people say that you're not supposed to do that, but I believe as a non-technical founder that that is the most productive thing I can do, you know, clean the canvas and essentially thereafter be able to sit down and look at our roadmap, look at kind of progress, you know, yesterday or things happened, you know, that happened yesterday, and then be able to determine, you know, where I should influence, you know, things in terms of what the team is working on, you know, that day. And if there's nothing on that front, then I can basically plan, you know, what my day should look like. And I can, you know, decide, you know, what makes most sense in terms of making a positive contribution to what we're working on at the moment.
And this team, so you're the non-technical founder and you have a technical team that you're talking about.
Yep.
Is this team local or is this fully remote?
Fully remote, scattered across, you know, a couple of different countries in Europe.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so struggles and failures as an entrepreneur and even as a human, right? One of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes and failing. AD, can you walk us through how to be wrong?
Well, I guess it's probably just a case of like being wrong and, you know, and I think probably the natural reaction to being wrong is, you know, trying to, you know, to keep it quiet. I'd like to think that I've been happy in the past to, you know, kind of at least whether I admit I'm wrong, you know, maybe not as much, but I'm probably not great at that. But what I am pretty good at is just kind of sharing the experiences around the context and around the, you know, the things that happened that led up to kind of being wrong. And I think that's important. That's, for me, that's self-reflection. And I think that's the most important thing about, you know, making a mistake as well. I truly believe that, you know, there are very few, you know, kind of mistakes in life and in business that are absolutely fatal. And the only way to really, well, I mean, I have a preference for learning via my mistakes or from my mistakes. So I think in terms of being wrong, it's just about taking that opportunity, you know, reflecting on, you know, what happened. And then, as I said, I do try and take that a step further. And whether it's, you know, writing it, you know, writing about it, or, you know, at least, you know, sharing it with, you know, with friends and, you know, people that I trust, I think it's important being able to communicate what one kind of what one's taken out of that self-reflection, kind of in a way to double down on the potential learning.
Yeah, smart. And do you feel like you ever have trouble sort of dealing with the fact that you might have been wrong in the direction you decided to go, but feel that you, if I just push further, if I just push, like maybe I'm in this dip, as like Seth Godin would say, and we have to push through it. And then another month or two or three or 6 months down, you're like, okay, actually, no, that was wrong. Do you find yourself doing that? Or do you kind of take a wrong quickly and like, okay, no, I got to reassess this and re-sort of direct my business?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's obviously incredibly hard. I mean, I think this notion of, you know, let's just say pivoting, I don't think it's ever easy or even possible to really know, you know, whether you should just quit or, you know, whether it's, you know, requires a pivot or, you know, whether you should, you know, kind of stay on course. And I've had two interesting experiences in the, you know, in the last year. And the one was when I worked on public beta just before, you know, before Receiptful, but as I was exiting WooThemes, and I literally got to the point where I just reached personal burnout. And whilst the business was kind of doing okay, and wasn't a profitable business just yet, but there was enough positive signal that, you know, we could turn it into a business and there was existing revenue, I essentially made the point there that I wasn't that sure about what the future looked like and I didn't feel up to actually, you know, kind of sticking at it, so I quit, right? And if I contrast that to Receiptful, so we launched in the first month and we sent, you know, 250 receipts in the first month. And everyone had told me before kind of Receiptful that, you know, getting into SaaS, it's a long kind of, you know, patient ramp up initially and getting that first traction. So I knew that even when I experienced it, it felt really shit. And I had massive, massive, massive self-doubt. And that probably kind of continued for at least, you know, into, you know, towards the end of our first month. And then we slowly started kind of seeing good traction come through. And now 3 months later, we're sending more than, you know, 40,000 receipts a month. So there's just that. So again, the decision there was kind of sticking, you know, with the idea, even though the initial signals weren't good. I mean, and, you know, all the kind of the good signals that I had at that stage was just this theoretical knowledge that, you know, what we're working on is something and it's going to be something in future. And I just had this self-belief around it. So again, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I have no answer. All I can say is, you know, that it's really, you know, it's really been hard to kind of figure out, you know, when to pivot, when to stick at it, or when just to quit outright. And I don't have a formula yet, even though I, you know, and the only thing I know is, you know, taking these last two examples of my life, it just felt different both times.
Excellent. And that's a great answer. And you say you don't have a formula yet, but maybe you do, and you just don't have it written down in that 10-point steps because you don't like doing that part. But it seems like you do, like you have an intuition that you can follow that is kind of telling you and directing you in the right direction. And that's really powerful and obviously probably a huge part of the successes that you've had.
So I do believe that in terms of being an entrepreneur and just kind of leading my life generally, that intuition is an important part thereof, but it's never an exact science. And it's still, you know, even though I can say that in a difficult decision, I will follow my gut, following my gut in a difficult situation is still difficult, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense. And you're right, it's not an exact science. And that's, I think, goes back to your one thing, which is waking up in the morning and being cool with being uncomfortable. Because when you are following your intuition and you know that this isn't an exact science, it makes you uncomfortable. It has to, I think.
Yeah.
There's no way it couldn't, right?
I agree.
It's because you're just going for it. All right, we're going to finish off, AD, with something I call the entrepreneurial gap, which is, as entrepreneurs, especially more earlier on in our careers, we set goals like we need to, say, for 6 months or a year. And the moment we achieve that goal, we set 5 or 10 more loftier ones immediately and continue pushing forward. And we never seem to stop where we are today and look back at where it is, what it is we've done and where it is we've kind of come and kind of congratulate ourselves on those accomplishments. It's always looking forward, forward, more and more. And that doesn't have to be money or success in any way, just what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. So could you, AD, just stop today for us and look back at what you have done and tell us how you feel about that and if you are happy with what you've accomplished to date?
Yeah, so I could first just validate that this is very much a hindsight thing. And if you asked me, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago on a kind of regular basis how I would feel about my own success, then I would probably have not given you the answer that I'm going to give you now. I think in terms of kind of feeling successful, for me, you know, currently it's about the smaller things. So one of the things that makes me feel incredibly successful is opening a, a fantastic bottle of red wine, and just being able to, you know, to really experience that, and knowing that, I mean, whilst I wouldn't call it premium, you know, kind of a premium purchase, I mean, it's something that I probably would not have purchased had I not been successful. And I guess there's part of those in my personal life where I'm forcing myself and allowing myself, maybe is a better word, just to kind of experience the fruits of my labor. And not all of them are monetary. I mean, at the moment, I have the flexibility and opportunity. I work from home, which means that, you know, 90% of days I get to take my son to school and I get to fetch him up, you know, pick him up at lunchtime, and I just, you know, have the opportunity to have lunch with them. And same with, you know, with dinners. I mean, 90% of weekdays, we, as a family, we have dinner together. And I think those are the things ultimately that, you know, that I've learned makes me feel really successful. And then on top of that, I think, you know, looking back at what I've accomplished professionally, at least, it's totally set me up to kind of, you know, do great things going forward. And, you know, one of those great things that I hope to be receiptful. And I'll share this kind of the personal mantra that is something that I just kind of stumbled onto, you know, into my head a couple of weeks ago. And I'll probably end off with this, because I think this is what kind of just how I define my own success. And it's just two sentences, and it reads, "Everything I've done until today has set me up for success and happiness. Everything I'll do today will leverage that and continue this journey."
Beautifully said. That's awesome, man. I love that you start off your successes with the good bottle of wine you get to enjoy, and then taking your son to school and having dinner with your family, and then move to professional, because that's amazing. And it shows me that you're setting yourself up for sort of to get out of that whole entrepreneurial gap and always professionally pushing harder and harder and saying you'll spend time with the family later and that sort of thing once things take off. And we never get to where we want to be. It seems professionally, we're always striving for more.
Exactly.
But the family stuff is there now, and it's not always going to be there. So that's smart. AD, we've talked a lot in passing about your business and what it is you do. Could you specifically tell the listeners where they can go find out about you and your business?
Yeah, so the easiest is probably my personal blog or Twitter, which is the blog is adii.me, and I'm just at adii on Twitter. And then the business is called Receiptful, and that's just receiptful.com.
Excellent. I will link to both of those in the show notes for everyone, so they're easy for you to find. Go track AD down on Twitter and say hi to him. He's got a lot of interesting things to say, and he writes some cool stuff on his blog. So AD, thanks so much for taking the time to join me here today. Keep doing what you're doing, because it's awesome to watch. And yeah, just thanks for stopping by.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, John.
My pleasure. AD, that was a lot of fun. And I have been wanting to talk to you since I started this show now. I guess we've ran in the same sort of areas with WordPress and such and software, and especially as the non-technical. So I really, really appreciate you taking the time to join me and just sharing so much. It was a great conversation and I truly enjoyed it. And I hope that everyone listening also did. AD is a smart, smart dude. You should check out his blog. I will link to it in the show notes. He writes a lot, and he writes about entrepreneurship in a way that you don't see very often. And it's a site that I've been reading now for the past 2 years, and I strongly, strongly, strongly recommend it, because he says a lot of smart things. And when he was here today, he said a lot of smart things, didn't he? But he said one thing. He did. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Everything I've done until today has set me up for success and happiness. Everything I'll do today will leverage that and continue this journey.
And that's the hack. AD. Jeez, man. That's epic. I love it. And it's something that it's something that we probably all struggle with. I've been writing about this for the last couple of weeks to the people on my newsletter, and it's like the entrepreneurial gap where we don't take the time to appreciate what it is we have. And everything we've been through until this point has set us up for happiness and to what we know. And then everything that I do today to leverage it to kind of go forward. Man, it's beautifully said. It really, really, really is. This is the one hack that's kind of stumped me. There's nothing to really add to that, AD. It's just I needed to choose it. It gave me goosebumps when you said it. It made me slightly speechless. When I played it back just now for myself, it does the same thing. And I truly, truly think that you've been on a path already for entrepreneurial success, but that is still just a part of who we are and what we do. And although lots of us get wrapped up in our businesses and our projects in a good way, meaning that these are things we're passionate about. These are things that I love to do. I love to leave behind things that I've built and put into the world. It's amazing. Yet you have to appreciate what it is you've done, and you have to appreciate the beauty that you've created and how it has set you up for happiness by doing those things, by doing the things that really, really mean a lot to you. And I thank you again so much, AD, for sharing that with us and for just joining me in this whole conversation. And I wish you the best of luck out there and just continuing to just kick butt in all the things that you do. And it's exciting to watch, and I look forward to it. So thank you so much. Well, this has been a lot of fun, as always. I truly, truly, truly thank you for taking the time and spending it with me today. And I hope that you take time to stop by the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You might see the old site, you might see the brand new site. It's hard to say right now. New site's going up very, very soon. I hope you check it out. You'll see my picture either way at the top. And there's a place to put your email. Please drop your email in there. My best writing. I'm working so hard. And the best stuff that I'm coming up with from these brilliant conversations I have all week. Every Sunday afternoon, I'm sending an email out to you, and I would love that to go to you. I would also love it if you hit reply to any of those emails. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're up to. Tell me what you're stuck on. Tell me what you're going through. Let's just have a conversation. That is the place to do it. So get on that email list at hacktheentrepreneur.com. And until then, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.